Okay. Okay, so we've been discussing Shmirah B'Bayalim. We looked at some of the main Mahalchim in the Mefarshim to explain why is it that a Shomer is Pater when the Bayalim is with him in Malacha. I just want to clarify, we saw in the Gemara itself two views. The Gemara in Sadihei had Rav Hamnuna, that the only time a Shomer is Pater for Bayal Bimo is when the Bayalim is Imo, Mishah Sheila Ad Shah Shvuro Mesa. As the Gemara says, Akula Milsa Mashma. Or as Rav Hamnuna said, Lola Muchai Vachete Para Bechor Reshba, Chamora Mechamra Chareah. Meaning, the only time a Shomer could invoke a Ptur Bayal Bimo is when the Bayalim is fully involved with the Shmirah from the beginning to the end. The Bayalim is probably even working with that Chefetz itself. Only under those strict conditions can the Shomer be Pater. They're pretty clear in Rav Hamnuna's view. I gave the analogy last time, like the Uber driver, that would be the condition of Rav Hamnuna's invoking Bayal HaBimah. Is that clear? Everybody sound good? Yeah? Okay. Now, the Derech HaMelech in the Gemara is against Rav Hamnuna. Rava raises a series of objections. And I just looking back at the Gemara, it is very clear that, first of all, the Bailam does not have to be there Bishas Shvuro Mesa, which we established last time. The Bailam doesn't have to be there at the time that the Onus occurs. That's uncontroversial. But if you read the Shach HaBitari of the Gemara carefully, it's also explicit. The way Rava reads the Brisa is that the Reisha is B'Malacha Acheres. I mean, if you read these brisas, the Gemara thinks the Shomer is Patur, even when the Bailam is not involved at all with the usage of this chefetz. So let's say the Bailam is performing service X for you. He's moving stuff out of your basement. If you borrow his coffee mug at that time, you'll be Patur from Onsen or from other Achrayas of Shmirah, because it's sufficient that he's imcha b'malacha acheres. So the psak of the Gemara against Rav Hamnuna is that A, all that matters is shas sheila, and B, even b'shas sheila, there doesn't have to be any tight connection between the davar hanishal and the malacha that this bialim is doing for you. Everybody clear on that? Yeah? Make sense? Okay. So what I want to cover today is the two sugyas on Sadi Zayin Amud Aleph, the Mikri Dardiki sugya and the Man Deboy Lemishal the Lifter Neim Ashken Maya sugya. So yeah, Kir, you want to get us started on the sugya on Sadi Zayin?
Sure.
Okay, L'chavad Rav.
Where it says, I'm doing the mission. Let me do the Mechavri Beliftar. So someone wants to borrow someone something and be Patra Onsen, namely Ashken Maya David. So you should tell him to water him, Devi Shiloh B'Vailim. That would be considered Shiloh B'Vailim.
Right, so if I want to borrow your pencil without any achrayas, I say, oh, Yakir, by the way, could you also just pour me a glass of water? And that'll be sufficient to trigger the dinim of Shiloh B'Vailim, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that a chiddush to you, or you think that it's kind of makes sense?
I mean, I guess it depends on the different permutations that Rishonim take this in, but yeah, I would say offhand, assuming the Shela is happening while the Malacha is happening, this seems like a legal loophole, but it seems reasonable.
Okay, fair enough. And the Gemara says, "Impi
So if the other guy realizes what's going on, he can ask that the Sheila precede the watering, and that would fit the chronological, which does not trigger a Sheila Vailam.
Right, so we would bypass Sheila Bailam because then the Shelas HaBailam, the Shela of the person would terminate, and only subsequent to that would the Shelas HaChefetz begin, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So you indicated, Jackie, that there's like a very broad way of reading the Gemara and a narrow way of reading the Gemara. So, and the question is, how loose are we willing to go in applying Shela v'Bailam? How tight of a connection does there have to be between Chafetz HaNishal and the Bailam's involvement? So the Talmud of Rashba here, I think, has a Moradik Achidish. What does he say, Yakir? Benira?
So the Rashal is a Shela v'Bailam. He says that the two don't have to be simultaneous. The full employment or volunteering period can terminate before the Shelas HaChepetz occurs. Whatever that means.
Right. He said, "Me'achar shekodem hasheila mamish nishalu lo habaylam." So, like, does this make sense to you? I mean, the Gemara seems to require simultaneity, right? That b'shas hasheila, b'shas sheila sachefes, the baylam is shalul to the shomer, and the Talmud Rashi was saying you don't need that.
Yeah, that's
what he says. I think what he says, kal to sheila, just means the period. The Bailam could have finished performing his or her task.
Well, I think kolsa means extinguished, right?
I agree with that.
So the question is, what happened to the there's no Shela b'Bailam here because the performance of the Bailam terminated prior to the commencement of the Shmira.
That's kind of that's incidental though. It didn't have to be, there wasn't anything in the contract that if the contract said that, like, you don't work for, you know, your task ends at time T1 and then a minute later your chayfetz is in my custody, then fine. But if it just happens to be that I brought you the cup of water and then you started making use of my hammer, then okay. So that's how it turned out. But I don't see why that could be on me. That me being the violin.
Yeah, I think you're onto something here. What I glean from this is that simultaneity is not so important here, right? Like it's really not crucial that the Shelas HaChepetz be simultaneous with the Shelas HaBailam. One second. It's sufficient that there was a Kiruv Hadas, maybe some relationship in the nearby vicinity, right? So like in the context of Shelas HaBailam, you have a Shelas HaChepetz. And that's really what's critical. So I think that actually would make a lot of sense if you're dealing with what Gabe was saying last time, you kind of just like subsume the chayfetz thing under in the context of like the relationship of between the persons, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you have to say something along those lines.
I think it's fine to say that like the shale of the chayfetz is like a subsidiary of I would think of it as the equivalent of like a worker bringing his own hammer to work. Like in a sense, there's one way to think about that relationship where like, oh, I hired this guy and he's bringing some stuff to do this job for which I hired him. But there is a sense in which you will the ends, you will the means. Like you as an employer have what to say about the condition of this hammer. It's only a short step from that to, well, you know, it's very natural to think about a worker using a hammer, but there's no need to have such a standardly defined task we could just decide that whenever there's any relationship between two people that has to do with objects, that the person who owns the objects has to take responsibility for them while the relationship is ongoing.
Yeah. I think that there is some reason to that. And you have to say something along those lines for the Talmud Rashba. That's good. Nick, you're in Gabe or Josh, you have anything to add to the Talmud Rashba?
How much lag time could exist between the two? Like,
yeah, I would say it's got to be kodem ashela mamish. You know, it all depends on how you explicate mamish. That's the Yakir said he doesn't know what mamish means. As the mathematician, I guess that's what Yakir was saying. You know, Yakir, do you have a sense on what the what mamish could be?
No. I mean, I got the feeling it's probably longer than Tochadei Dibur, but I don't know.
Right.
I can't really.
Yeah, he does make it seem close, right? He says, Shekodem Ashela Mamish, which I think Mamish is his way of saying immediate. Afal Pisha Kolsa Shelosam Ad Shelo Hispik Hashoel Limsho, right? Ad Shelo Hispik to me sounds like, oh yeah, you know, he just didn't have the opportunity to do it yet. Like the guy served the water really quickly. But it's all within the context of the discussions. You know, like for a Kenyan suitor, sometimes we say you could be chozer kol zman she'oskin be'oso inyan. I think like that's like Cole was saying. You know, kol zman that they're osek be'oso inyan, it's simultaneous enough for these purposes. So maybe that's what I would say.
Wouldn't something like that assume some type of das?
Yeah.
Right, and Rebbe's whole point is you're getting around his das. You're assuming he's a fool. He doesn't know the shtick you're going to pull.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting point. I'm saying the Gemara itself, the Gemara recognizes, like, he's, oh, like, this all seems to be, like, legal technicalities, right?
Yeah, which is even, like, a little more of a chiddush, no sense.
100%, yeah. I agree. This Talmud Rashba is a chiddush. Let's just contrast it with the Rimu Lamil quoted in the Shita, who goes the exact opposite way. So, Gabe, you want to take us through this Rimu Lamil quickly? Namely Ashken Maya.
Yeah, should I read it?
Yeah.
So it says Klo Marboso Kli Atmo. So not only so the Shayla Bavilam and the Shayla Bechiva seem to be sort of focused on the same object. So the Shayla Bavilam needs to be centered around the same object that you're actually borrowing. And then they happen, there's like complete or perfect simultaneity in the two shalos.
Right, Tishali and Makli. I think that's right. And, you know, one thing that I'm wondering here is, so the Rimu Lamil goes the exact opposite of Talmud Rashba. Obviously, he requires simultaneity. The Shita also quotes Ashken Maya, Odo Hole Flash Gosa Mashach Le'apara, right? So it's got to be simultaneous. So there's that view that's pretty clear. But what do you make of the requirement in the Rimu Lamil that it's got to be Be'oso Kli Atzmo? So like he makes the Kinta in the Gemara that the Ashken Maya is really about you're borrowing a cup, and in order to trigger Shayla Bailim, you need the Bailim to be Nishal with that Kli itself.
So this seems obviously like rooted in the world of Rav Nuna, that the reason or the mechanism by which the achrayas is lifted from the Shelas HaKli is the fact that the Bailim are present and sort of assume achrayas over the same object.
I don't think it has.
It's definitely closer to Rav Nuna. What were you going to say, Cole?
I was going to say, I don't think it has to do with Rav Nuna's point is about the constancy of the Bailim's stewardship. I think that the Rimu Lamil's is this Rabbeinu Yonasan? Is he the Rimu? Are they the same person? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, embarrassing. Okay. So I gotta take Jewish history.
Hesperus is Phosphorus.
Hesperus and Phosphorus, exactly. I think that the point that the Rimu Lamil is making is that you only get the benefit of the p'tur if you can if you can, like, can subsume the relationship to the Kli under the relationship to the Bylim. If I'm, if I ask you to pour water for me, and oh, by the way, can I borrow your lawnmower? Those aren't related to one another. And so there's a little bit of Rav Hamnun in there, that the expectation that you're stewarding is built in, but that's grounded in a prior tightness between the relationship, between the task of the Bylim and the implement being borrowed.
Right, right. Meaning it's like, you know, if I were to say, could I borrow your car? And, oh, could you also get me a glass of water while you get me the keys? You know, it's a little difficult to read that as Shaylev of Bylim. But right, if I say, oh, could I borrow your car? Oh, and could you just drive me to where I need to go? That is Shaylev of Bylim. Now, I think there's an open question here whether the Rimu L'Nil requires this in all cases, like this tight connection, or it's Dafka in this case, where without his interpretation, the connection is just so tenuous. Like, literally, the guy did such a meager favor for you, right? He got you a glass of water. And that's going to undercut the liabilities on the Chafetz, right? So if he's your employee, then maybe that's going to be Shmir B'Bailim, even if the Chafetz is not related to the Malacha. But here, where he's not really your employee, right? He's doing you a 30-second favor of getting you a glass of water. In order for that to undercut the Achrayus of Shmira, that's got to be tightly related to the Chafetz and Nishan.
I think that then what you have to say for the Talmid Rashi, I think the Rimu L'Nil is very persuasive, even though it's not... It does add some stuff to the Gemara. I think that what you'd want to end up saying for the Rashba, for the Talmid Rashba, is that the significance of the coincidence of the She'ela of hiring the Bylim and hiring the Chafetz is basically that the Bylim, like, you know, views this person as sufficiently trustworthy or something like that.
Yeah, like Akira Vadas.
I have to say, I'm not so excited about that way of thinking about it.
Right. You might think it should be case specific, right? So let's say I go to the Nissan dealer, you know, to lease like a $27,000 Nissan Altima, right? And like the guy's giving me the keys and I say, oh, do you have a glass of water? Right. So now, like, for the rest of the lease, there's like no achrayus because, like, I happen to ask the dealer for a glass of water. You might think that's different than, you know, borrowing a neighbor's car who, like, we normally share, you know, who, like, I normally say, oh, like, and by the way, can I borrow like some milk? We're out of milk in my house, type thing. Like, in one case, there's clear kirav hadas, in the other case, there isn't. So it might make sense to weigh that kirav hadas in case specific way. So I think that the Rimu L'Nil is trying to weigh in on that, but also Kli Atzmo, it becomes much more like the Uber driver with his car scenario. It's like much less Chafetz HaShaol and more of like a Sefiras Poalim type relationship. Okay. Now I just want to point out the tour in Simin Shin Mem Vav clearly runs with a very broad definition of Shaylev Bailim. He says, Tashol apara vayamashil imashol b'mlachto, etc., etc. Paul, why don't you read this line for us? Loshna.
Sorry. Loshna b'malacha acheres, afilo amar lo hashkeni mayim v'ashkahu, v'hishil aparaso v'ochu mashkahu havashayla b'bayim.
Right, so you can see he's
so the Torah thinks clear that there has to be some kind of coincidence in the period.
Yeah, coincidence in time, but definitely doesn't require also a Kli, right? He doesn't think that, he thinks it's sufficient if you're Mashke Mayim, but the Sechiras HaChefetz is a para, that's totally good.
This would be a way of kind of retaining, to make a very Rosenzweig point, this would be a way of retaining the intuition behind Rav Hamnuna without the letter.
Why the intuition?
Well, because you have to, the idea that there has to be coincidental.
Well, everybody requires coincidental,
not except for
the Rashba. Right, everybody requires. everyone requires simultaneity, Bishasa Shela, except for that Talmud Rashba.
Bishasa Shela, do you mean the moment of contracting or the periods of use?
The moment of contracting.
But even the Talmud Rashba requires that.
Well, he thinks you could have a lag. Right,
I believe he thinks you can have a lag in the... I think the Talmidei Rashba thinks you have to agree to it in one moment, and then the Bailam goes and gets you a glass of water, and then a minute later you start using the hammer.
Ah, so you were thrown off by my footnote, by my parentheses here. I think there's a way of reading the Talmidei Rashba in those lines that, like...
Yeah. Otherwise, what's the coincidence at all? Otherwise, how's that different from the case that the...
It's like, yeah, here's Einsteinian time quanta thing.
What? No, there's no Einstein. This was in the Middle Ages.
That it's just that there's some, you know, if you're within like a certain close enough gap, it's still simultaneous. You know, it's like, yeah.
That is a tyrannical reading of the Talmidei. A principle of charity militates in favor of my reading, because your reading's insane, because that other reading is crazy.
Okay, so the way in parentheses here, what I'm saying is I agree with you that, like, oh yeah, there's like a verbal,
yeah,
and then the verbal agreement is simultaneous, and yeah,
there's a, I don't know, Maisa Kenyan whatever, but the
we'll talk about this next Chabura, but this is very very sophisticated question for the relationship between the Maisa Kenyan and the verbal discussions that frame the Maisa Kenyan, right? So Cole, your point is, well, if there's a verbal discussion saying, I take your glass of water, you take my glass of water, I take your cow, that is all wrapped in together. The machine doesn't have to be simultaneous with the Shas, She'elas Abaylan. That's your view, right?
Yeah, in the Talmud, that is the most radical view. I think you can't go more than that. That's the border on one side.
Okay, so we'll talk about this question, like what really triggers the schiros of a person? Like, what is it, the meshicha, or like the or is the verbal stuff sufficient? And maybe you could read that into the Talmud Rashba here. Gabe, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, or you could go in the other direction and say the Talmud Rashba isn't requiring a formal, like the din of Baila Imo isn't triggered by the formal act of Mashicha, rather by some assumed das when you create the Shela on the Chayfetz. So we don't need the Baila to be formally employed by the Shela. We just need them to be in a relationship to have Kirav Das.
Exactly. That's what I meant initially by the Kirav Das view. Exactly. You don't need some like Choshen Mishpat entanglement. It's like enough that you have some sort of reis involvement, something like that. Yeah. Okay, good. So those are the main views on this point. Let's take a look at this Meiri quickly. The Meiri here on Sadi Zainam at Aleph basically throws around a few sveikos about what the relationship has to be between the Chayfetz and the Baila Vimo. So look what he says here, quotes the Gemara and generally, and he says, "V'tzarech l'ayin." So Josh, do you get a chance to look at this, V'tzarech l'ayin?
I didn't in advance, but I'm happy to read it.
All right, take a stab at it now, V'tzarech l'ayin.
V'tzarech l'ayin, v'mish amar hashkini v'amar lo hamtin, v'lo amar lo ad shita aseh shomer t'chila, el hamtin me'ad. V'ach gach aseh v'kana zeh habehima, v'ach gach hashkeu, ma'adino, im no mar she'af zeh she'elah v'balim,
yeah. So this is the case where you're following the Gemara's advice, right? So the halah, the bailim, is a pikeach, right? So he declines the trap, right? The trap is Ashken Maya, and you say no. Be Moshech, and then I'll give you water. So you say the right things. So you say, he says Hashkeni, and you say Hamtein. But you don't say Achetasa Shomer Tchila. So there's like some ambiguity, right? It's not clear if you're waiting for the Meshichas HaShomer to be extinguished before you do the service. So if you just say, wait, and I'll do it afterwards. And then this guy does the kinyan on the behemoth. So I think if we were very formal about this, what would you say? If you were like very formal about simultaneity, what would you say?
It doesn't look simultaneous to me.
Yeah, it doesn't seem simultaneous, right? The guy did the mishicha, and then later you perform the service. But if we're very relaxed and we're just saying, hey, it's like a sukin bo, so inyan, like, right? So then what?
I mean, this will feel very problematic.
Problematic on what view?
Because he never said, wait. Like, he never said, ask me first, right? He just says, wait. He asks for the object, and he waits, does the kinyan, and then he gives him the water. So throughout the entire time, theoretically, you could read that as him being within that sort of subjugated type relationship.
There's no break.
Yeah, there's literally no break. He's always in it.
Right.
Ravamnuna will be very happy.
Right. Well, Ravamnuna, I think, is spaz out. I think Ravamnuna is more about the bishas ones. And here we're clearly outside Ravamnuna. We're in this like narrow view of simultaneity, bishas ashela. And we're just trying to figure out like how smeared out is the shasa shela versus like how localized is it at a, you know, maisa mishifa, etc. Okay, there's one other point in the miri here that's pretty interesting. So he points out that you could distinguish between the following cases. So just everyone take a second to read this last paragraph in the miri, and then Yakir is going to tell us what the distinction is. I want to take a Zeshabiyar now. So the first point is like, don't think that Shayla B'Bailim always has to begin with a demand from the Shomer seeking the employment of the Bailim. It could also be if the Bailim volunteers his services to the Shomer. Okay, so that's an interesting point, not so important for our purposes. And he says, Me'ata. So he's saying, look, you get into a gray area where Yakir borrows my bike rack to put on his car so that he could go on his bike marathon. Right, Yakir, are you a biker? He's got Ami strapped into the back, right, or in one of those trailers. And I say, oh, Yakir, like, do you know how to use it? Let me help you load the bike rack. Let me help you, like, anchor it to your car. Right? I don't want Yakir to break my, like, really expensive bike rack or whatever thing is. So is that Shayla B'Bailim? That's what the Miri wants to know. And he draws a distinction here. So, Yakir, what's his distinction?
He seems to distinguish between volunteering to help the shoel versus supervising to make sure that the object is being used properly.
Yeah, well, that's a really interesting distinction, right? So whether or not my helping Yakir with the bike load the bike rack, which is mine, whether that rises to the level of Shmir B'Bailim will depend on my underlying intent in helping him. Right, so here, how does it go? If
if your intent is to just help out, then you that is Shmir B'Bailim, you're volunteering. If your intent is to supervise to make sure that your object is being okay, then you are looking out for yourself, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Are you looking out for yourself or are you looking out for the other guy? That's the exact distinction. You have to know your grammatical suffixes for this distinction to make sense. Right? So he's really saying, if it's letake nimo bimasa ui, I think it's really should be bimasa o, o lisai o ba'aliya so, right? Then it's shmir b'bailim. But if that's not your kavana, it's just levaker es hamasoi imu gadol yoser midai, right? If you're just like checking the thing, let's see. Right. Yeah. So it's like the distinction here is Yatsa imo bisha shela, if you're going with him, lisayo baliyaso, then it's shela babilam, because you're performing a service to help the other party. But if that wasn't your kavana, and your kavana was just to check out the load, whether it's like being abused, whether the item is being protected in the right way, then you're not shmir b'vaylim. And the key line is shelo nasa b'zeh shol elo la'atzmo. Right? Shelo lahaten behemto yoser midai. You're really just trying to help out yourself, not the other party. So what do you guys think of that? Does that make sense? Like, it really depends on the underlying intent and why you're providing the service. What do you think?
In a way, it makes sense. There's something, this is maybe a side comment, but there's something a little counterintuitive about this, especially on the view that what explains Shayla Vilem is that if the Vilem is around, they should be taking Archaeus on their own thing. So here it's specifically the case where the person is looking out for the object, but the Vilem is looking out for the object, where it's not Shayla Vilem. They don't have Archaeus on it.
Oh, so I think this is very nice. If you're a Minchas Chinuch person, who's like in principle a Raham Nuna person, meaning this is all about Shmira B'Bailam is all about a low plug that the Bailam was supposed to exercise Shmira, then this is very difficult, right? Because he's saying the more the Bailam is, see, how's the word right here? The more? Right here?
Yeah, meaning for the Meiri, the counterintuitive point is for the Meiri, the more the Bailim is interested in exercising Shmira on the object, the more Chayav the Shoel is becoming.
Right. So it's ironic on the Minchas Chinuch view, right? But on the other hand, on the Kirav Hadas view, which is, or on the Ralbag, you can't be a Eved and Adon at the same time. This does make a lot of sense, right? So the idea is that if I'm doing it for myself, if I, as the Bailam, doing it for myself, I'm never Meshabed myself to you, right? I'm never an Eved to you. So it's sensible. And same on the Kirav Hadas point. I think the idea is that if I'm also helping you out and doing all these favors for you, then we could subsume the Shmira Sachifetz relationship under like the favor performing personal relationship, right? It's not an arm's length market transaction anymore. So the more the Bailim is, doing favors for you, the more of an umdana there is to say he's waiving achrayas, right? Whereas the more he's worried about his own stuff, the less of an umdana there is that he's waiving achrayas. Gabe, you have a thought on this? Does this make sense?
Yeah, my thought is on the Nishal Hume Lo Mei Love point. I think that's pretty significant. I know we glossed over it, but I think the fact that you can create a situation of Shayla B'Bailam without Das HaShoel, to me, says a lot about the mechanism at play here. This isn't about a meeting of minds or some kind of terms of agreement or assumed terms of agreement between two parties, but rather this can be created in a one-sided relationship.
Yeah, that is an interesting point. So you're saying, Gabe, you come to visit Philadelphia, and I say, oh, Gabe, I'm so happy you get to travel a little bit, take my new car for a spin around the city, right? And I say, Gabe, not only should you take my new car around the city, let me also tune up the engine for you, right? So that you could... I guess that would be, I volunteer my nishal lilacha, right? I pump the tires, whatever it is. So you're saying that's not a meeting of the minds on like a shela sabaylim. That's just like a unilateral right thing that I did. And so that suggests that this is more of a kirvadas type halacha. if it could be done unilaterally, it's not a like a contractual issue.
Yeah, one option is Yakir to ask. The other, Yakir and I spoke about this a little bit. I'm not sure Yakir is convinced, but to think about this as like some kind of automatically triggered or organically triggered terms of Sheila. It doesn't require das, or it doesn't require meeting of minds, but rather this is just like inherent to the way in which the Torah understands Sheila. We don't need to agree to have a chayos or exchange a chayos. It's just whatever the mitzvah is at the time that you're borrowing, like that's how there are certain organic or natural hashlachot.
Yeah, except that you would say that the background fact of your being, even though there's no meeting of the minds on the bialim being nishalo, that background fact determines the nature of the meeting of the minds on the shelas achefes. Right? So you could say it's still a meeting of the minds issue. But even though there's no meeting of the minds on the Sheilas HaBaylam, there is it does frame the meeting of the minds on the Shmiras HaChefetz, right?
Yeah, I guess that's right. But that would be more the Kiryas Hadas view, though.
Right. But I think you're right. It is significant. It is significant that it could be Nishalo, right? That first point of the Miri is pretty important. Good. So let's look now at the second Gemara. We'll come back to some of these Yesodos later on, but right now I just wanted to bring out the different views on simultaneity, also Chifes Atzmo, how involved the Bialim has to be, and those related questions that come up here in the Rishonim. We'll come back to that a little bit later on. I want to now just take a quick look at the next related sugya, the second Maimer of Rabban Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, the Mikri Dardiki discussion. All right, anybody want to volunteer to tell us what's going on here? Cole, is that, I see a volunteer coming from you?
No.
No? Okay.
Did you put this? Oh, yeah. I wasn't going to try clarity on this.
That's good stuff, though. Josh, do you get a chance to prepare this, or you can get a chance to see this yet? No, that's fine. Adam Mann, do you get a chance to look at this yet, or not yet?
I mean, I saw just the Gemara. Questions, can I remember what everyone here is?
Just tell us the Gemara then. So read us the Amar Rava.
Amar Rava Mikri Dardigi, Dardigi, teacher of children, Shtaba, what am I here?
Shasla.
All right, Shtaba Ta. Shatla, I don't know what it is.
Shatla Rashi says it's the communal landscaper.
Communal landscaper,
the New York City parks and
the gardener. So the tapcha, the butcher, the umna, the what's that? Bloodletter. Right?
Rashi says the bloodletter. Other people say it's the Rambam says it's also a bloodletter. Maybe the Ritva says it's somebody else, but like, yeah, same, you know, some public service provider.
Right. And the, in the Sefer Mata, the, I guess, the scribe, right?
The Rambam says it's the scribe. Rashi says it's the communal barber.
Okay, the communal barber. Kultum Bidin Evititaihu, all them that within the time that they're actually working, Kishaila Bibaldim Damo, right? It's like Sheila Balam.
Yeah. Notice, Biden Abiditayu, we'll talk about this, while they're working, they're considered Sheila Bailam. There's a whole range of views in the Rishonim here, what exactly this means. The broad idea is that these public servants, people who are employed by the entire community, if you borrow something from them, that's considered Sheila Bailam because they're considered to be employed by you. So they're Meshibit to you for the Malacha. When you then borrow a car, whatever, from them, you'd be pater from Achrayis because they're Meshubit to you, Begufam. Good? Yeah? Well, let's see. Now, there's a whole range of views in the Rishonim about what this exactly means. So Rashi here says something. Kishela Bailam Dami. Actually, the Rishonim think he says something. I'm not so convinced that they're right in interpreting him. So what do you think Rashi's saying? Imi shahaya zeb bimalachto. Shal haimena behema ba'oso shaha. Umesa pater. So what's Rashi saying in your view? When is this occurring?
When he's actually at work.
Okay. So when, let's take the communal blood letter. let's just make it more realistic. Let's say it's the COVID vaccine deliverer for New York City, right? He's the guy who vaccinates you when you show up in Belfort. So if you borrow his pen, right, and you break it, you're putter, because that's Shayla Bilem. Now, Adam, when you read this Rashi, so you say you're only putter if it's while the guy is administering vaccines. Is that your view?
I mean, no,
or is it that, or is that he's only you're only putter if he's administering a vaccine to you?
Right. I mean, from the sound of it, I mean, he doesn't specify that's to you. It sounds like you'd be going to him when he's administering vaccines, say, hey, can I borrow your cow?
Right. So the idea is that let's say he's administering a vaccine to you and I borrow his cow then. Is that Shayla Bilem with me or no, in your view?
I mean, sounds like it.
It is, meaning so long as he's administering vaccines, right, he's mushal to me. So if he's vaccinating you, he's doing his job. Because I'm working a year, I'm like his employer. So if I borrow his cow while he's working, I'm pater for my price, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to read Rashi, actually. You'll see that from him, don't read it that way. But let's see the Rambam first. So the Rambam says, Malame tinokos, hanotea livnei medina, amakiz dam, asofer shelahen, kol acham eilu b'chayotzi ben, biyom shehu yoshe bo lasa bimlachtan, im hishil o hiskir, le'echad me'elu shehu osek bimlachtan, harizah shmir b'vaylan. So I think this is the key phrase here. Hiskir le'echad me'elu shehu osek bimlachtan. What do you think the Rambam's saying? Just to go back to our vaccine case.
I mean, right. So he's saying, I mean, in the Rambam's case, I mean, back to our vaccine case, it has to be someone who's vaccinated.
But being vaccinated.
Being vaccinated. But it's not clear that it has to be as you're being vaccinated. It seems that maybe they just have to have been vaccinated by him that day or will be vaccinated by him that day.
That's right. It's like you're a recipient of his services, you know, in the nearby space-time vicinity, right? Something like that. It's so you're, and then we get into that Talmud Arachba question, right? Okay, exactly when, but the idea is that, like, if I'm vaccinated from several months ago, and the guy is like vaccinating you today, right? It's and I borrow something from him today. We wouldn't say that I'm Shayla Bilem, correct? It's like there's got to be some tight connection between the service provider that he's serving you today. Correct, Adam?
Right.
Right. So let's say Bill de Blasio is a public servant, right? Definitely hasn't done anything for me in the last few years. No, I'm kidding. But so the fact that he's working for some people in the city doesn't make him Shayla Bilem for me. Correct, Adam?
Yeah. I mean, the only comment that would make probably against the Rambam.
He says, "La'achad me'elu shevose b'machan." Yeah, go ahead.
Right. I mean, the only point I would make against that, like sort of in favor of the simple Peshat and Rashi, would be the fact that in other places also the Gemara like speaks to specific points, like of, I mean, like for instance, like a barber, like by Chagim, has like a specific duty to work for the city. Like he can't not work that day. He has responsibility to work for a day for the people of the city. So things like that, where like we do see that we in general do attribute other types of responsibilities to them.
That's very important. Good. We're gonna talk. That's gonna come be very prominent in the Mepharshim we're about to see. Gabe, you don't hate on me for not living in New York. I would use the mayor of Philadelphia. I don't even know who that is.
Listen, I abandoned New York also, but I don't have any claims to Bill de Blasio.
Right, right. But I tell you, I sat in this Din Torah a while ago where this woman says she's very upset that her neighbor cut down her tree in the backyard. And she's like, you know, my neighbor hates trees. And you know, the city was offering to plant trees in front of the house. Like de Blasio had a whole project, but we told him we don't want de Blasio's trees. We won't benefit. We don't want his trees in our house. Just like, it's just like so interesting. Like this vitriol for de Blasio. And it's like, maybe it's like Julia.
Can't imagine why.
Right. So the Rivash in Siman Taf Lamed Vav has a very important comment here. Look what he writes. Um, Here. Af misha niskar l'chol b'nei ha-medina b'chlal lasos melachtam. So somebody who's employed by the community in general, he gives the examples, whatever. Kol eila im b'eisha osen ha-melacha sh'niskaruba le'eze yachid m'bnei ha-medina hishilu le'yachid ha-hu eze davar Hater hayachid hahu hashoel. Shaharei baldavar atzmo hayaose malachto be'es hasheila. Okay, so the Rivash, like the Rambam, requires that type connection, right? It's got to be the you were being vaccinated by the guy that day and you borrowed from him. So there's this type connection. What then is the chiddush of the Gemara? So the chiddush of the Gemara is v'af al pisha osa malacha shahaya bal davar osa lezeh haya bischiras klal hamedina v'lo bischiras b'sheilas hayachid ahu b'frat. So the Rivash is worried, like, what's the chiddush of the Gemara if it's got to be that you received the service from him that day? So what is the chiddush according to Rivash? What's he saying in that last line? It's like a chiddush in like how you view these appointees. They want to take a stab at what the chiddush here is.
And the chiddush is in the relationship, right? His malacha in general, the reason why he's subjugated to you is because it's clearest call a Medina, not because of any specific relationship to you.
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting point, right? You could have said that the vaccinator works for the city. And he's just doing his job for the city when he provides the service for you, right? So like the garbage collector who comes around, right? So is he working for me or is he working for the city? So the Rivash says, the chiddush of this Gemara is that even though he's working for the city, v'lo b'schiros o b'shelas hayachid ahu b'frat, that's sufficient to trigger the p'tur of Baal Avimo. So I think the question that I want to pose is along the lines that Gabe asked earlier. Is this a chiddush in like B'nei Ha'ir, like how we view a shitfus of B'nei Ha'ir? That, you know, Kamash Malan, that de Blasio is not employing the city worker. They don't work for him, they work for us. Or is the point, no, they work for him, but Shela Bebailim just requires something much weaker. Right, for Shela Bebailim, it's almost like sufficient that they're doing you a tova, right? It's not about the legal shibud. Gabe, do you have a sense on this question? V'lo b'schiras o b'shelas hayachid ahu b'frat. Hard to know from his language where he thinks the chiddush pulls us. Anybody have a sense? Anybody have a thought on this?
I think there's something to be said from the fact that he does require, let's say, the hair snip or the barber to be working on that person that day. You need that additive to it.
Ah, so you're saying that this is more about the... Interesting. So you're saying this has got to be...
I mean, it's not clear, but it makes me wonder why you need that in addition. If there's already the relationship already exists.
Got it. You're saying if you're...
Right. Need and why you also need some type of action on that day or some type of...
So you're saying if this were a schiras polim halacha, then meaning that the city workers work for the people, not for the bureaucrats, not for the elected politicians, then he shouldn't require the same day that the guy vaccinated me today, you picked up my trash today, right? Because he's meshubit to you through the legal relationship. I think that's a really good idea, Gavin.
It's sort of like a retainer. You know, you have a retainer, not necessarily, actually, I don't know how a retainer works. Maybe that's not how a retainer works. But like, you have like the right to use it.
Yeah, but notice he doesn't say that, right? He requires, kol eila be'esha osen hamalacha sheniskruba le'eze yachid mebnei hamedina hishidu le'yachid hahu eze davar.
It's almost like even though there's an interposition of this like abstraction of having the guy work for the collective, once he's doing something specific to you, that's still enough to create Shela B'Bailim.
Right. So does that sound to you? So do you think that's because... the way you said that just now, it sounds like a Shela B'Bailam Chiddush, right? That even though he's not hired by you, right? It's enough that he did the service for you in that context to render this Shela B'Bailam. That's how you're reading it, Josh?
But it's a little more than that, because we had seen before that, like, even, you know, Izatova almost, like, you can create this Shela B'Bailam relationship. It's almost that there's a Havamina that, because there's this institution of he's working for the collective, that would get in the way of Shela B'Bailam. Kamash Malan, it doesn't.
Oh, interesting. Meaning you're saying the way you're saying maybe what's going on here is so interesting point. So everybody see Josh's very sharp reading of this line. Josh is suggesting maybe what's really going on here is, of course, providing a service on its own is sufficient. That's like the Miri's Nishal, right? That would trigger Shela B'Bailam. But here there might be a mitigating circumstance that would vitiate. So the idea is that, like, look, if I voluntarily give you a vaccine, that's for sure Shela B'Bailam. But if I'm giving you a vaccine because I'm employed by a third party, right? Maybe that I'm not nishal to you at all. I'm nishal to the guy who's paying me to administer the vaccines. That's how you're reading this, Josh?
Yeah.
And then Kamash Malan, that, like, oh, the Meiri's enough. It's enough that he's doing you a toba. Like, the nishal lit klal ha'ir doesn't vitiate the service to the yachid. It's really interesting. What do you think, guys? The V'yafal P here. So, you know, the point of the shasla tabcha is just to, like, to use the Yiddish that Cole will criticize, is just to bavorn the havamina that he's really not working for you.
Can we take a... Did Joshua introduce himself?
No. Josh, you have to introduce yourself.
Sorry, I just... It's been bothering me. And...
Sure. I'm a friend of Gabe. Gabe invited me.
that's all we need to hear.
Right. Any friend of Gabe is a friend of ours.
Go on, Josh.
Okay, fine. So I'm getting a PhD in University of Maryland in physics, trying to figure out which area of physics I'm going to be focused on. And I love Torah.
Nice. What area of physics are up for consideration?
So either what's called non-equilibrium statistical mechanics and thermodynamics, or
I can't tell if Zoom inserted a few extra.
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, right.
So, like,
did the connection get interrupted for a second, right, or there's a lot of try this one more time, Josh?
Yeah, sure. It's called non-equilibrium statistical mechanics and thermodynamics. That's one option. That's what I'm doing for the summer. Also, like, quantum control, basically combining those two ideas in a couple different projects. And then also the other option is pretty formal things, like in cosmology and particle physics. That's another interest of mine that, like, is potentially open, but I don't know if I want to go that route, in part because it will eat all of my time and leave none left over for Torah. So then I don't know if I really want to do that.
Now we know why your loving Torah was relevant to your description of the PhD.
Joshua, at some point I might engage. I'm always in the market for scientists as a philosopher who doesn't understand like what a derivative is. It's always very useful for me. So I might engage you on the subject of the relative singularity and tolerances of different of contemporary cosmologies.
Yeah. Okay. That would be great.
I just want to go out on the record that Josh and Yakir are my two last hopes for there being anybody in the world who's really doing Torah Mada, and Kumar, I guess, doing Torah Mada.
I'm sorry, I not doing Torah Mada?
Oh, you fail on the Torah side.
Wow.
Just kidding.
Dude, Chetzi Tochnit in the Gush in Hebrew U next year for graduate degree in philosophy. I'm not doing Torah.
All right, cool. I'll allow you to be a candidate also, but I feel like,
really appreciate that. Yeah.
I'm trying to convince Yakir to finish his smicha and Josh to get smicha so there could be more rabbi doctors in the world.
Akira, you're not going to finish? You should finish.
If you say something.
There you go. Mm. But Josh, if you need a applied mathematics person, Akira's your man.
I'll keep that in mind.
Akira, are you applied math still, or?
No. More pure, but.
Well, wait. So topology, like, what's your field?
This can be an after couple of records.
Okay, fine. Deal.
What? To tell us your field very quickly, like here. In the interest of throwing a bone to Gabe's Toramada.
I'll say spectral analysis, and now we can go back to Tora.
Great. But I like Josh's sharp reading here. Yakir, what do you think of Josh's suggestion in this Rivash?
Yeah, I agree with it.
Yeah, so the Chiddush is you think that he's not Nisgar to you at all, right? Yeah, I think that's a really good... Yeah.
Can you repeat one more time that we had a bit of a lag between the... reading his Chiddush?
Josh's reading here, which I think is really sharp, is that of course, if the guy is vaccinating you as a service, that's considered shol l'malacha. The Chiddush of Rava, Tabach, Shasla, whatever, Safar Masla, is that you might think that the service to you is vitiated by the employment by the city. Meaning, he's not working for you when he takes your trash or gives you the vaccine. He's really working for the city itself. So, you know, it's like in Hilchos Shabbos, right? Gabe wanted to learn Hilchos Shabbos this year, so the rule for Amir Lakum is like, if it's doing La'anos Atzmo, right? So suddenly, like in Hilchos Shabbos, everything is La'anos Atzmo, right? Oh, the guy opens the door, not for you. He opens the door because his job is to be the doorman in the city, right? He washes the dishes, not for you, but because like his job is to wash the dishes. So like, Josh, that's kind of the move you're making over here also. And that's in the Rivash is saying. Yeah, I think it's a really interesting point. Great.
Sure. So can we read it then as he's not working for you, bechlal? Like in the general status, he's not working for you only when you actually use that. Only when you use your rights to use him to vaccinate you, then he's really working for you.
That is what the Rivash is saying that, but Josh is saying, even then you might have thought that he's only doing it.
Not working for you at all, that.
If Cole were here, Cole would say, like, subspecies his employment to the city, right? That's the... So, like, Josh is saying, Kamash Malan, that's enough that he's doing the service for you, right? Even if it's under the umbrella of the duty to the city.
You don't even need to go as far as saying there's a third party, but you can just say that this sort of pushes back against the subservience or the avdus adnus relationship that we discussed last couple of weeks, that, like... There's no hierarchy between a city employee and a city resident.
It's like everyone's out there to work for each other type thing.
Yeah, something like that. And there's no like sense of being machzik tova. Like his employment isn't on the line. He doesn't need any additional favors from this guy. Like there's none of the relationship based things that are in play. Even if there is a shibud between each individual resident and the employee. Sheila Babaya might not be a relevant category.
I don't know. It's a very rosy view of social cooperation. You know, it's like very, you know, Rawls says that, you know, the French Revolution was based on liberty, equality, and fraternity. And it's like in liberal thought, everyone talks about liberty and equality, no one talks about fraternity. You know, it's like no one really believes in like fraternity of social cooperation. Maybe the communists do, but it's like, Gabe, you're thinking that's what's going on here. It's like,
no, I think we have plenty of room to go on the fraternity question. I just think that like I have no authority to fire the garbage collector in Cleveland. He just sort of happens to come to my house and he happens to work for me in some very distant relationship, but I don't actually hold any authority over him.
Which I guess is consistent with what Josh is saying, right? It's like working for the city, right? But you're saying less in a formal Sphiris Poelim sense and more just in like the Smithas Das issue of, yeah, gotcha. Good. So we'll stop.
But
yeah, go ahead.
Just a question to push back maybe a little bit on that, which is that, you know, if we think about the, you know, Adnus versus Avdus relationship, like when you're just getting a guy a glass of water, it's hard to say that that's right. Like, if that can form Shayla Bavailim as being a relevant category, then it's harder to say that, like, you know, you need that at all. And so therefore, again, that this idea might stand apart from, you know, there needing to be this imbalance of power between the two parties. And so I'm not sure if it's really quite the same thing as what the Meiri is doing, where he's saying that we are assuming here some, you know, some minimal amount of service that he's giving you, but like, I'm just wondering, like, how crucial is that piece, like the Adnus and Avdus? Because it seemed that earlier case we diluted that away almost completely.
Yeah, it's hard to know, like, which shittas are, you know, emphasizing that or highlighting it more than others. So it's hard to know what the general theory is, right? Just trying to reconstruct from the Rishonim that we're seeing as we go here. It's a fair point. Let's look at this Ritva. Well, I think this is the last makar we'll look at today. So the Ritva on Tzadi Zayin Amid Aleph says, I think the exact opposite view. Certainly the exact opposite of, well, I think the way we were just reading the Rivash. He says, Hi Shasla, blah, 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 close the Gemara. Shol mehen patur. Why? Vatam mipnei shekol elu notlim scharon mipnei ha'ir ke'achas. So they're employed by the city as an entity, by all the constituents of the city, right? So like the public servants work for the people. Vaharei heim b'malacha etzal kol b'nei ha'ir. And then they're considered to be working for all of b'nei ha'ir. Va'afilu kisha osin malacha la'echad mehem, ki'ilu osa l'kulon, ki l'kulon hein niskarin. So this is like, you know, the opposite of the Rambam Udi'ime, who require, you know, oh yeah, he worked for you today, right? Or he's doing malacha for you today. You know, you got your vaccine from him. No. The argument here is that the entire city hires this guy. You as a city resident are considered to be his employer, at least in part. And when he's giving out vaccines to other people, he's sacher to you, right? You're one of his employers. So it's kilu osa l'kulon, kilu kulon heinaskarin. V'havalu ke'achad min ha'shitvin she'sha'al, u'v'shah she'ela nisha'al l'kulon she'upadu l'divrei akol. I think this is a really interesting view. Where the idea is that regardless of whether the garbage man took your garbage today or takes it in general, any trash collector in the city is considered to be your employee in virtue of like the formal structure of, you know, how B'nai Ha'ir are organized socially. Does everybody see that? So this is like the exact opposite of Josh's reading of the Rivash, right? Josh's reading of the Rivash thinks that the fact that he suffered to B'nai Ha'ir is a reason to make it not Shayla B'Vailim when he performs service for you. The argument of the Ritva is that regardless of whether he performs a service for you, he is Meshubba to you in virtue of your being his employer as one of the B'nai Ha'ir. Thoughts on this?
Right, it eliminates the notion of this abstract institution of getting in the way completely, where it's just shoot boots, and then right, you're a direct employer in everything that he does.
Correct. And which is what, you know, really expands Shayla B'Bailim, right? It means like any city worker has got to be careful. And you know, it gets even more complicated, right? So, well, yeah, any city worker is going to be on the hook for Ptur Achrayus when they lend things out, right? It's like, they gotta be careful. Gabe, Yakir, Adam, Cole, this sounds good.
I have a thought on it. I mean, you sort of have to contrast between different types of public employees. Theoretically, not all of them necessarily are paid in the same sense, right? Sometimes the city pays part of it and you pay part of it. Sometimes the city pays absolutely nothing. With certain like garbage schemes, right? You have, this is like the state's, this is the city's garbage collectors, then you have to pay for each can they collect. So what you're saying is they may not be publicly employed. They're only employed when you pay them to actually collect.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. You're saying within Torah comes with the trash collectors, we have to look into the structure, like who's hiring them. And
yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that this is certainly the case by, you know, by a barber or something similar. I can't imagine that you could go to the barber 1,000 times a year just because he's a public employee.
Well, you don't live in a town with a public barber, right? You live in everything's probably privatized and.
Right, right. I go to very specific communities in North Korea where they.
all right, let me just make one more comment here. One more comment here. The Rush cites the Ravid as being medayag in the language of the Gemara of Iden Avidatayu while they're working. Right, so if you go back to the language of the Gemara, and Adam emphasizes when he read it, Mikri Dartki Shasla Tavko Umna Sefer Masa Saber Masa Kulu Beidan Avidatayu Kishelu Bailam Damu. Right, while they work, it's Shelu Bailam. You know, it occurs to me now, actually, the language of the Gemara Kishela Bailam. So I wonder what that Kafa Dimion gets like into Gabe's, you know, world of. It's sometimes it's enough that it's close to Shelu Bailam relationship to trigger the Dina. It's interesting. Formulation of the Gemara. But the Rush says, based off that diak, citing the Ravid, even if it's a tayu pierce Ravid, Zal, Bizman haroi lemalacha kamar, yafisha in osekva, lafisha in rasha lihishamet minamalacha haru. You don't even need the barber to be working, like, or the vaccinate. So let's say, like in New York, let's say most people are vaccinated already, right? So there's like these guys are just sitting there doing nothing, right? I walked into a store a rental car shop the other day, and this guy from Nissan walks in and turns to the employees who are like sitting there doing nothing and says, working hard or hardly working? I was like, never heard that. I was like, I guess that's the equivalent of like, Boaz Hashem Yimachem Yivrecha Hashem. You know, it's like you just greeted them. You guys working hard or hardly working? So let's say the vaccinators are like hardly working these days. So the Ravid's point is that it doesn't matter. The point is that it's bisman aroy l'melacha, and there's like a formal shivud that they're obligated to work. If somebody were to walk in, right, so it's like this very formal way of looking at things. The fact that they're meshubad to the command of the Bnei Ha'ir is sufficient to trigger Shelo Bailim, regardless of whether any service is actively being performed. Kivan she'im yitzarich lo mechuyav lasos melachto. So I thought that's like a really interesting thought, which speaks more to the Adon Eved relationship, like the legal authority issue, rather than, of course, you know, anything close to the Rav Hamnuna / you know, the Shomer is supposed to be involved, the Bailam is supposed to be involved, keeping an eye, etc. Okay.
What about for like police? I mean, if they're off duty, right? Is it ever a case where they're actually, where this would not apply? Right? What would be the limits to place on this if like, you need a police officer and they see something that's going down, they become involved, right? Like
a Good Samaritan type obligation or something like that?
Or like, I mean, I'm not holding in terms of what their actual obligations are, but like off-duty police don't, I think some of them at least like do carry gun, right? Like they actually have like some equipment so that if push came to shove, they would actually be able to become involved.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Like, are they meshubba? I guess the question for the Rav would be, are they meshubba to do malacha b'oso shah, right? What's the expectation? I think that's a point. Or like a doctor also, who's like supposed to take call, right? But look here in the Talmud Rashba, shout out to all the spouses of doc physicians here who complain about their spouses.
Itamar, you keep covering your microphone.
Oh, do you not hear me?
Now I hear you.
Okay. So let me just mention two other points. So the Talmud Rashba here says this this is like relates to Josh's point. When we call makam nira sheyesh od ladin bedavar sheim b'sha shehin osin malachto shel reuven bas shimon b'sha mehan ezu sheila bebailim shari eno rashi lahaniach malachto shel reuven malasos malachto shel shimon. This is like an interesting conceptual question. So the barber or the vaccinator is employed by the entire town, right? So Adam walks in for a vaccine. So like right now he's meshibit to Adam, right? He's got to do for Adam. And I could sit there and scream and nag and whine, but the vaccinator's got to deal with Adam before he or she deals with me. So the Talmud of Rashba thinks there's an argument to be made that if I borrow something from the vaccinator while they're dealing with Adam, that's not Sheila Bebailim, even though I'm Echam Ibnei Oir, because at that moment, they're like, Shibud is concentrated or is fully fleshed out with the service due to Adam, and I have no tefiyah against them. So it's like an interesting thing about like, how do we define what's a Shibud? Does it have to be like enforceable in the present? Is this consistent with the Ravid we saw a minute ago? So just think about, we'll talk more about this next time, think about this. Let me just also mention very quickly, take a look, you should also look at this Sheet Mekubetzes on Sadi Zion Amid Aleph, who has a more circuitous way of trying to explain the legal position that the Rashba has, but from the Ritva has, but from a different conceptual point of view. So the Ritva's point was that even if they're not working for you, they're considered meshubit to you in virtue of your being an employer through the B'nai Ha'ir. The Shinto Kubetas thinks about it differently. He says, V'chol shaita dekatar v'avidita dechad minayhu, mishtar shah hi shaita lechavre, delahavile shahusa lemitrech v'avidite basar hafi. Kind of a strange argument, but the idea is that I get hana from the vaccinator taking care of Adam in the sense that once they're done with Adam, they could get to me. So it's like a strange way, it's like a side way of trying to explain why I benefit when the public employee is taking care of other people's work, because then it frees them up to do the work that I need them to do. I'm not sure how compelling of an argument it is, but I think the Ritva is much cleaner. The Ritva's point is like, no, like formally they're employed by you. And it seems like the Shinu Kubetzes here wants to say like, well, you're getting hana from the work that they're doing for the other person in this elliptical way. Okay, so let's stop here. I wanted to just chart some of the main paths here and bring out the tensions between like the Shibud thing, are they actually performing a service for you? The formal Schiras Poalim approach versus the Kirv Adas approach. Take a look at these Makoros we just ran through now. Also look at this question of an Isha Labaila and Baal Leishto. Is that considered Sheila Bebailim? So we'll talk about that on Tuesday. And then we'll also go back to the sugya over here. Here. At the beginning of the Ansari Dalid, about whether for the purposes of Sheila Bebailim, Namira is enough to trigger the Schiras or the Sheila. Right, just like this relates to that Talmud Rashi we saw in the beginning, just saying that I'm going to work for you, or do you need Haskalah San Halacha? So this relates to the simultaneity thing, but I'm not interested in getting bogged down in the simultaneity thing on Tuesday. In that discussion, I just want to look at the standard of Kinyan Meshichas Haskalah San Halacha for the Sheila Bebailim to trigger Sheila Bebailim. So not the Kinyan on the Chifetz, but the Kinyan on the Pulas Habayim. Okay, does that sound like a good plan for Tuesday? So we'll wrap up this discussion. Just try to get a deeper handle on the different views of the B'nai Ha'ir, B'shas Malacha, working for you, blah, 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 those distinctions. And then we'll look at this Haskalah San Malacha question at the beginning of the parak. All right, Shkoyach, everybody. Have a good Shabbos. And we'll pick up on Tuesday. Josh, welcome to the Chabura. Good to have you.
Shkoyach, thank you very much.
All right. Here, thank you. I don't want to cut off your spectral mathematics. You want to take a quick stab at it, but.
Have a good shot. Should we turn off the recording for it?
Sure.